Good morning, everyone. I felt that coming off of Tisha B'Av, and hopefully it was a meaningful Tisha B'Av for everyone, and a time to grow and a time of introspection, we would keep in the theme of this type of Midah, and let's discuss the very, very severe, as we'll see, prohibition of embarrassing another person in public, being Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim. We're going to discuss different aspects of this. Obviously, terrible thing to personally attack another person in public, that goes without saying, but also comes with extra levels of sensitivity and extra levels of awareness of how to treat people, how to respond to questions. Just off the bat, I wanted to tell us what we're not going to be discussing. We're not going to be discussing the idea of kavod abrios, that sometimes in halacha we rely on certain leniencies because of the honor of a person, we don't want to embarrass them. That's another shiur for another time. We're also not discussing the concept of busha, that a person has to have a sense of shame when it comes to their own service of Hashem and dealing with other people. That's not what we're going to talk about. What we are going to talk about here is a pasuk in the Torah in Sefer Vayikra. The pasuk says, "Lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha." There are three things in this pasuk. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You're not allowed to hold a grudge. If you dislike someone, there are only two responses in the Torah if you don't like another person. Either get over it and forget it, or have it out with that person, talk to them, express your displeasure in a comfortable and a normal way, and that's the first issue here. Then the Torah says, "Hocheach tochiach hasamisacha." You should give rebuke to your friend when your friend is deserving of rebuke and hearing words of Musar. V'lo sisa alav chet, and you shall not bear sin. There are three different directives here. Don't hate somebody in your heart. Give somebody Musar if they need it, and don't bear sin. And this pasuk is counted as a mitzvah to not embarrass another human being, writes the Bahag in his Mitzvah Losa Asay. The Rambam brings this in the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Mitzvah Shin Gimel 303 Losa Asay. The Sefer HaChinuch counts this in Mitzvah 240. The Smag, the Smak, the Sefer Charedim, all of the counters of the mitzvahs count of one of their 613 mitzvahs to not embarrass another person. Now, the Torah says, "Lo sisa alav chet." There is a four-way machlokas amongst the Mefarshim. What does that mean? What is the sin that you shall not bear? What are we talking about? The Torah seems to be a bit vague. The first approach is unklus. If you look at unklus on this pasuk, unklus says that you should give musar to a person, because if you don't, you'll be held responsible for their avera. If I see somebody being mechal Shabbos, and I'm able to stop them from being mechal Shabbos, and instruct them the right ways, and I choose not to, so that will be on my account, that will be on my cheshbon and shemaim, because I could have prevented a person from doing an avera, and I didn't, and therefore that would be my fault. This is the sheet of the Ramban as well. The Rabbeinu Yon and the Shari Shuva brings the same shot. The Ibn Ezra, the Orcha Tzaddikim, all note on this pasuk that if I could stop somebody from doing an aver and I don't, then that's my fault. That is also a much larger discussion for another time. The second approach is the Targum Yonas Ben Uziel. We should know that the Targum Yonas Ben Uziel was not in fact written by Yonas Ben Uziel, the great Tana. It's what we call in Latin pseudo-Jonathan. It's not really Targum Yonas, it's fake Targum Yonas. We don't know who wrote it. We know that Yonas Ben Uziel wrote a perish on Navi, and we don't know what he wrote on Chumash, but somebody in that generation, that time period, wrote a perish, an uncle, a Targum, an Aramaic translation, and they call it Targum Yonasan, but our little secret, it wasn't actually written by Yonasan ben Uziel. But what does the author say? He says that if you're giving somebody Musar, then you will not be held accountable even if you embarrass them. What he reads the pasuk to mean is a get-out-of-jail-free card. If you see somebody doing the wrong thing, and you can stop them, and you tell them off in public, even if it's embarrassing, says Targum Yonasan, you're still allowed to do it. And that's what it means, lo sisa lav chet. You won't bear any sin if you embarrass that person in the process of giving them musar. The Maharsha entertains such a reading, but rejects it based on a gemara we're going to see in a moment. That Targum Yonasan is way out there. I don't think anybody would tell you that is okay, that you have a free pass to go embarrass somebody in public because you're giving them musar. The third explanation of the pasuk is the Ramban and the Rashbam, who say that it means that you shouldn't violate the iser of lo sisna bilvavecha. You shouldn't violate the prohibition of hating another Jew. Rather, express your feelings. Give the person musar. It's not speaking about embarrassing another person. They see the pasuk coming from a totally different angle. But what we care about is the reading of the Gemara. For some reason, the Rishonim seem to ignore in a practical level, the reading of the Gemara. We have here a Gemara in Erchin. The Gemara in Erchin, Daf Tezayin, says that the Pasuk is telling us that it is usur to embarrass someone, even when you're giving them musr for doing the wrong thing. Let me read you the words of the Gemara. Tana Rabban, and the rabbis taught, Lo sisna es achicha bilvavacha, yachol lo yakenu, lo yistarenu, lo yikalenu. The Torah says, don't hate your brother in your heart, and I would have thought you shouldn't hit him, you shouldn't slap him, you shouldn't curse him. Tama lomar bilvavacha, even in your heart, you're not allowed to harm another person with your feelings. Sina shebalev hakasu medaber. It's talking about hating somebody deep inside. It's not healthy to keep a grudge inside. Again, as we said before, either let it go and get over yourself, or talk to the person and express your discomfort and have it out with that person. How do I know if I see my friend doing something that is not proper, I should inform them about it? There was a mitzvah in the Torah to give tochacha. That also requires a lot of explanation. How do we give tochacha? When do we give tochacha? Who should give tochacha? Who should be the recipient of rebuke? That is also a complicated topic on its own. You should do it multiple times. I would have thought, says the Gemara, even if I changes the color of his face, I should give him musr, even if he turns bright red, he turns white from shame, whatever it may be, says the Gemara, tamalomar lo sisa alav chet. There is no heter. You are not allowed to give somebody musr. You're not allowed to give them rebuke if it's going to embarrass them in a way that would be unfortunate for them. Now, if you look at Rashi, when Rashi discusses this Gemara, or if you look at Rashi's Perush on the Torah, on this Pasuk in Vayikra, he adds it has to be Barabim. Meaning if it's just you and this person, and you tell them off, and they're embarrassed in front of you, maybe that's not such an issue. The whole issue would be Barabim in public. The Prima Gadim, in Or HaChaim and Simekuf Nunvav, we've said this before, Or HaChaim and Simekuf Nunvav 156 is the place where the Magen Avraham decides to list every single thing that he thought the Shulchan Aruch left out. So you have a lot of commentary there of people discussing what the Shulchan Aruch thought, what the Shulchan Aruch left out, what should have been included. So the Prima Gadim says, and he writes again in his Sefer Tevas Goma, we're going to quote from him multiple times, and the Chafetz Chaim as well, in his introduction, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Baal HaTanya, explain, it's also usur to embarrass somebody in private. Even if it's just you and them, and you embarrass them in a way, and you make them feel ashamed, that would also be usur according to Halacha. And this is clear from the Rambam, who does not qualify this mitzvah, whether it's just between you and him, or in a stadium full of other people as well. However, if it's done berabim, explains the Prima Gadim, what's the difference between embarrassing somebody in private or if I do it in public? If I do it in public, as we'll see in a moment, ein lo chelek olam haba, you have no portion in olam haba if you embarrass somebody in public. That would be the practical difference between embarrassing somebody, just you and him, versus embarrassing somebody in front of other people. There is... Good? Great. There is an additional Isser in the Torah that seems very similar to this, but is different, and that's the Isser of onas dvarim, to cause somebody pain with words. And what's the difference between this is sort of embarrassing somebody and sort of causing somebody pain with words? It seems to be kind of like the same thing. So Rabbeinu Yon and the Shari Tshuva and Chela Gimel and the Rashbats and Pirkei Avos and the Mesillas Yeshayahu and Perek Aleph indicate that Onas Dvarim is simply the private version of embarrassing somebody. Embarrassing, Malvim Pnei Chaver Barabim is... or lo sisa lav chet is when it's done in public. And if you say the same thing in private, and you tell off the person, you know, you tell somebody in private, just between you and them, that is the ugliest shirt I've ever seen, and you tell them in front of the whole school, that's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen, you've really done the same thing. According to Rabbeinu Yonah and Mesillas Yesharim, it's only onas dvarim if it's between you and the person with the ugliest shirt you've ever seen. But if you tell that person it's the ugliest shirt you've ever seen in front of the whole room, then it's malbim pnei chaver barabim. So for them, it's just a difference of location who's there. It's the same act. It's technically the same thing, but it just depends on whether it's in private or in public. There is an additional isser in the Torah of onas dvarim, as we said. So the chikrei lev in Yoredein, Chela Gimel says that Anas Dvarim is usur even if you don't embarrass the person and you only hurt their feelings. It's possible to hurt somebody's feelings but not really embarrass them. That's really what Anas Dvarim is. And this is also the Shita of the Chafetz Chaim. In addition, we wouldn't know lo sisa lav chet, that I should not bear sin for embarrassing somebody, then I would have thought you can't hurt somebody's feelings in general, but you are allowed to do it when giving mussar. Meaning, if the Torah only told me you can't do anas dvarim, you can't hurt somebody with your words, I would have thought, well, that's all fine and dandy if I'm just being mean for the fun of it. But if I'm giving somebody constructive criticism and I end up embarrassing them, well, then tough luck, you know. It's the school of hard knocks. Now you got to learn the hard way. So if I upset you, you know, you got to deal with it. No, says the Torah. Even though I told you earlier, you shouldn't hurt people with your words. Even if you're coming to do something constructive, you want to help them out, but it's embarrassing, you'll be held responsible for embarrassing them in such a way. That would be the difference between the two psukim and the Torah. They are similar, but at the same time, different. Rav Chanan Wasserman has a very striking statement. Rav Chanan Wasserman, who is the Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich, who died al Kiddush Hashem towards the end of the Holocaust. So he writes in his Sefer Kobe Ta'aros, which is his Chidushim on Maseches Yevamos. It's not important what the Gemara there is talking about right now, but in Siman Ayin, he's talking about mitzvos bein adam lechavero, interpersonal mitzvos, and he writes something very, very sharp. He says, you are allowed to embarrass somebody in public if they didn't first listen to the private rebuke, and by embarrassing them, it will lead to a toelas, something positive will come from it. Meaning, even though right now they're embarrassed, but it will be beneficial later on, and they'll be a better person because of it, you're allowed to do that. And Rav Chanan notes that for many mitzvos bein adam lechavero, they're only aser if it's derech kilkul, if it's only done to damage the person. But if you do that same thing to help the person, then it's okay. For example, what's the most famous latoelas? Lashon hara, right? We know that under certain conditions, if it's latoelas for a benefit, you're allowed to speak lashon hara. So it says Rav Chanan Wasserman, the same thing over here. Listen to this. To kol ha'isurin ha'elu, husu l'tzorach toelas. All isurim, beit adam l'chavero, all prohibitions that are between man and his fellow man are mutter if it's latoelas. That is a very dangerous card. I would not go around playing that, saying that Rav Chanan Wasserman told me I can embarrass you because it's for your good. I would not take that to the bank. I would be very careful how that is used, and it should be used with great caution because it's not always clear when embarrassing somebody would be latoelas for their benefit or not. So we'll keep that as a mari makom, a nice fun fact from Rav Chanan Wasserman, but I would not employ that in your day-to-day life. Okay, who does this apply to? Who does this not apply to? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shavuos in Perek Vav, he says, Mikan she'asur la'adam lahachlim es Yisrael. It's asur for a person to embarrass a Yisrael, a Jew, implying that the Yisrael only applies to embarrassing another Jew, but technically it would be permissible to embarrass a non-Jew. And this is cited by the Chafetz Chaim. But I would probably tell you in practice that it's probably not a good idea as a mensch and as a human being to go around embarrassing anybody. In fact, the Tiferes Yisrael in his commentary in Pirkei Avos in Perek Vav says that anything that is created B'Tselem Elokim, anything that is created in the image of God and has a image of godliness too, and that would imply Jew and non-Jew, should be under the rubric of not embarrassing such a person, treating them with respect, and therefore it would seem from the Tiferes Yisrael, and it would also seem from good conduct and good policy, we should not differentiate between embarrassing Jew or non-Jew. Even though one could read carefully into a Rambam, I wouldn't take that careful reading too far. We shouldn't embarrass anybody as fine, upstanding citizens of the world. The Rambam then continues, and this is probably the most important issue regarding the who's and who's nots of who we embarrass. The Rambam says, "B'tzarach Adam lizar shel levayish chaveru berabim bein katan bein gadol." Whether the person is a katan or whether the person is a gadol. And the Megadim Chadashim, which is a commentary on Maseches Brachos, says the Rambam means katan in years, not in stature. Now the Pri Megadim says that the Rambam is talking, well, no, let's leave it off to the side. It's very clear. Let's leave off that other sheet for now. The Pri Megadim and the Mefarshim explain clearly in the Rambam that the Rambam is talking about somebody who's a katan in years, not a katan in stature. The Rambam does not mean that whether the person is very important or whether the person is, you know, your regular man on the street, you're not allowed to embarrass them. The Rambam is saying, says the Pri Megadim, that you may not embarrass a child as well. And this is an area that, unfortunately, we are not so careful in. A child is a human being. A child has feelings. Just because you are bigger than them physically, and older than them, and smarter, and more knowledgeable, and better, and more accomplished. I do not have any more handouts. We can make some copies. Okay. So, we must be so, so careful about this. Now, even if, I'll tell you technically, even if the child is not of the age to feel embarrassment, and this is hinted to by a tshuva of Rav Yaakov Ellengren and the Binyan Tzion, we're going to refer to back in a moment, even if the child is not of the age, but it is embarrassing that he would be embarrassed, the child must be treated with respect. We must be so careful when speaking with children to obviously never call a child a bad child. A child makes mistakes. They may behave in a way that is not appropriate. They may do the wrong thing. It doesn't mean you have to give them a hug and a kiss even when they, skin the cat. That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that to embarrass the child in the form of rebuke that gives them pain also applies to a katan, as we see from the Rambam and the Prima Gadim. We have to be so careful not to use sarcasm with children. Children don't get sarcasm always, and they don't understand what's going on. And if they do get sarcasm, it's so biting to them. To an adult, they may get your sarcastic remark, and they may blow it off. But for a child, when they realize that you're talking to them in a sarcastic way, it is so painful, and it is so hurtful. There is a very, very funny, but also painful statement from Rav Aaron Cutler. The Sefer Sichos Chaim quotes Rav Aaron Cutler is asking, how come all of the Rosh Yeshiva have to schlep around, schnarring for money, going from town to town, and walking, knocking on doors, embarrassing themselves, being mavaz themselves, begging for every penny for the yeshiva? Why is that? So Rav Aaron Cutler said, because sometimes the Rosh Yeshiva is not so careful in speaking sharply with the young men or the children in his yeshiva. And therefore, the children are in pain. And as we'll see in a moment, embarrassing somebody is a form of ritzicha. It's a form of murder. And therefore, when a person murders, they have to go to galus. They have to go to Ir Miklat. They have to run away. And therefore, the punishment of the Rosh Yeshiva is they have to go to galus. They have to walk around, schlepping around, collecting money, because sometimes the Rosh Yeshiva is not careful enough in how they speak with the young people in their yeshiva. And therefore, it applies to older people. It applies to children. How careful we must be to not assume, oh, it's a child, whatever, and blow them off. We have to be careful in that area as well. We know from the Gemara in Gittin that we heard many, many things about over the last week. How terrible is the strength of embarrassing someone? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu helped Bar Kamsa. Because it led to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the burning of Yerushalayim. Says Rechaim Shrulevitz in the Sichos Musar and last week's Parsha, Parshas Devarim. Listen to what we're talking about. Bar Kamsa was terrible. He threw the entirety of the Jewish people under the bus. He sold out all of Klal Yisrael and had them burnt and destroyed because of his personal vendetta. He's not even if we take the Medrash and the Gemara literally at its face value, against how we explained last week, but even if we take it literally, he's such a terrible person to go and do that. Even if you're embarrassed, you'd have all of Yerushalayim wiped out because you're embarrassed. So, says Rav Chaim Shulevitz, even for such a manuvel, such a terrible person who acts in such a disgusting way, still we say you have to be careful about other people, and you have to be careful not to embarrass them. It does not matter whether it is your best friend, it does not matter whether it is a person who is annoying and has it going for them, and it's due for them to be embarrassed, and they earned it, and they got what was coming to them. It doesn't matter, says Rav Chaim Shulevitz. No matter who it is, everybody deserves to be treated with Tselem Elokim. Let's turn now to the most prominent source. And this is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Gimel Halachot Av says, Rabbi Eliezer HaModai Omer. Rabbi Eliezer HaModai says, HaMechalos HaKadshim, one who is not careful about Kadshim, Korbanos, Umevasis HaMoados, a person who is not careful about treating Chalamoid with proper respect, V'HaMalbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, and one who embarrasses his friend in public, V'hameifer bisal shavim avinu, one who's not careful about a bris mila, olav hashalom, v'hamagal panim b'torah shel kalacha, one who reveals or teaches Torah in a way that is against halacha, all of these things, afal pishish b'yado Torah ma'isim. Even though you have Torah and masim tovim, and you have so many great things, and you're a great person, you're a wonderful person, you learn Torah, you go to shiurim, ein lo chelik l'olam haba. You have no chelek in olam haba. If you embarrass somebody in public, even if you did everything else great, you have no portion in the world to come. And this is cited by the Rambam in Hilchos Chov Olamazik and the Laws of Damages in Perek Gimel Halacha Zayin, who notes that although a person who embarrasses somebody verbally cannot be charged to pay for it, there's no financial payment that is due to such an individual, it is still a grave sin, says the Rambam. And only a wicked and foolish person abuses and insults people. And this lahalacha, that it is usher to embarrass somebody in public, is cited by the Tur and Choshen Mishpat, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Levush, and the Magen Avram, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and two places. This is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch to not embarrass another person in public. The Tosfos Yontif on the Mishnah explains that embarrassing somebody is a form of apikorsis. It's a form of heresy. Even if every person is created b'tzelem elokim in the image of God, as we said, and you embarrass somebody, not only are you shaming them, but you are shaming HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. You're showing Hashem that you don't view this person to be b'tzelem elokim, you don't respect Hashem as well, and therefore it also falls under being a heretic. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Shuvim Paragimel clarifies who doesn't get Olam Haba. The Rambam has a whole list of 24 people who do not receive Olam Haba. And the Rambam is clear that somebody has to be ragilba. It has to be habitual. Meaning, if you're the person who, by mistake, you slipped up, you got angry, and you embarrassed somebody in public, it doesn't mean you have no chelek in olam haba. What we're referring to when we talk about somebody who has no portion in the world to come is somebody who always embarrasses somebody, who constantly has a disregard for other people's self-esteem and self-worth, and is always going on about them, calling out in public, saying things about them in a public way, by mouth, with social media, things like that. Such a person is Ein Lo Chelek, the Olam Haba. Now, the Orech Misharim on the Rambam wonders where the Rambam saw that it has to be a repeat offender. Because the Mishnah Pirkei Avos said clearly, if you embarrass somebody, you don't have a portion of the world to come. Where's the Rambam gets the idea it has to be somebody who embarrasses somebody all the time? Says who? The Mishnah seems to be very clear. You embarrass somebody once, you're out of Olam Haba. So he says the Mishnah is in present tense. Hamalbim, one who is embarrassing somebody right now, one who regularly and presently embarrasses another person. If the Mishnah wanted to say somebody who embarrassed somebody in the past, it would have said halabin pnei chavaro. Hamalbim means consistently, one who is always embarrassing somebody in public is ein lo chelek olam haba. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Or HaChaim in Chelek Hei, and this is the editions published after Rav Moshe's passing in Simen Ches and Sif Yadalim. He says that embarrassing someone is compared to murder, as we'll see in a moment. And murder is not one of the things that you lose your olam haba for. As shocking as that is, murdering somebody is not on the Rambam's list as someone who has ein lo chelek olam haba. Now certainly, says Rav Moshe, embarrassing somebody is not actually literally on the level of murder. That will also be debated in a moment as well. And if murder doesn't cause someone to lose their olam haba, then how can embarrassing somebody cause losing olam haba? Murder is really, really bad. Embarrassing somebody is also bad, but it's not murder. So therefore, Moshe says, it must be that it's a person who has a total disregard for human sensitivity and the people around him, and therefore it's logical that the Rambam would say that it's not a one-time offender who embarrasses somebody. It needs to be somebody who does it all the time in order to raise the level of somebody who's worse than a murderer, so to speak. Now, that's approach number one. That's issue number one. It has to be somebody who regularly embarrasses somebody. What's considered... Yeah. Rav Moshe Feinstein. So, what does it mean, Barabim, now? Well, if we said before that the person who embarrasses somebody in public, well, then I need to know, is two people okay? Is three people okay? Does it have to be a minion? What are we talking about? So the Prima Gadim writes in the Tevas Goma, it means three people, means the subject of the embarrassment, plus two other people. So it's you, the embarrasser, the embarrassee, plus two other people. Like many areas of halacha, you require three in order to create a rabbim, considered a group of people. And this is cited by the Binyan Sion and other poskim as well. Let's turn now to the Gemara. What does the Gemara have to say about embarrassing? Yeah.
Well, that was the person who's being embarrassed, the embarrasser, and one other person, or two people?
No, the two people plus the embarrassee, not including the embarrasser. Okay. Let's turn now to two famous Gemaras in Bava Metzia. These Gemaras appear in Bava Metzia and Daf Nun Ches, going on to Daf Nun Tes, page 58 to page 59. And discusses other aspects of embarrassing. Va'amar Mar Zutra Bar Tuvi Amar Rav. Va'amar Le Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amar Rav Yishun Chasida. Va'amar Le Amar Rav Yochan Mishum Rav Yishun Bar Yochan. There's a machlokas who said that. Noach lo la'adam shiyapil atzmo l'toch kivshan eish. It is better for a person to fall into a burning furnace. Val yalbim p'nei chaver b'ramim, it's not embarrass his friends in public. Minalan, how do we know this? From which episode in Tanakh?
Tamar.
We know this from Tamar. Shneamar, hi motzas. What's the story of Tamar? Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda mistakenly, unknowingly, had a relationship with his daughter-in-law. And she knew that, but he didn't. And there was a moment in time where she was about to be burnt at the stake. And she was about to be punished for something that he did. And she technically could have embarrassed him, but she was prepared to go to the stake to be burnt and not embarrass Yehuda. In the end of the day, things worked out, and Yehuda admitted on his own for what he did. But we see from Tamar's actions that she was prepared to go and be burnt alive, even though not to embarrass Yehuda, her father-in-law. Now, the above is not just theory. The Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Samach Zayin tells us the story of Mar Ukva. Mar Ukva had a poor person in his neighborhood, and Mar Ukva was accustomed every single day to toss 4 dinars, a bunch of money, into the slot next to the hinge of the door. He would walk by the house and open the door quickly and throw it in and then walk away. One day, the poor person said, I want to see who's giving me this money, who's doing this service for me. So that day, Mar Ukva was delayed in Beis Medrash. She was giving shir, it took longer. And his wife came with him to distribute the tzedakah. They were going on a walk together. And when the people in the poor man's house saw that someone was turning the door, they noticed that somebody was opening their door to throw the money in. So the poor person went out after them to see who it was. And Mar Ukva and his wife saw what was happening, and they ran away. They ran down the street so they wouldn't be able to determine their identity. And they had nowhere to run. And they ran into a room that had a furnace whose fire had already been raked over and was tempered, but it was still pretty hot. It wasn't raging fire, but the coals were burning on the ground. And as he was standing there, not wanting to embarrass this person, because he didn't want to embarrass the poor person that he should know who's giving him his money. He was trying to avoid embarrassing this pauper. His legs were being singed. And his wife said to him, pick up your legs, you should put them on my legs. Her legs weren't being burnt. She was a very big tzaddikah, so she had a special zechus, and a miracle was happening for her. That's not the point right now, what the miracle was. But he lifted up, he sat on his wife's legs, and he was saved, and his wife went unscathed. So the Gemara says, what was all this? Why did they go to such extreme lengths to avoid being discovered? And the Gemara in Ksuva says, it is preferable for a person to deliver himself into a fiery furnace and not to embarrass his friend in public. So we see the Amoraim practiced this, not just a nice idea, but he actually went out of the way to put himself in a dangerous situation to not be embarrassed. The Gemara in Bava Metzia continues and says that anyone who humiliates another in public, it is as if he was spilling blood. That is lesson number 2. Now Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to him, this seems to be correct, as we see that a person who is embarrassed blushes, and the red leaves his face, and he turns white. So it's as if you are drawing out blood. It's like a mini form of murder, because you're drawing out the blood from the person, so to speak. Abaye says in Eretz Yisrael, what mitzvah were they particularly vigilant? And Rav Dimi said to him, they're vigilant against humiliating other people. And anyone who descends to Gehenna will ultimately come out, except for 3 people. And one is a person who commits adultery with a married woman. The other person is a person who humiliates another person in public. And the third person who doesn't come out of Gehenna is one who uses a derogatory name. The Gemara asks, well, what's the difference between calling a person by a derogatory name, a not nice nickname, and embarrassing them in public? Why are they separate? So the Gemara says, although by calling the person a not nice nickname, he becomes accustomed to that nickname. A person is short. They call him Shorty. He doesn't like it, but eventually over time he gets used to be calling Shorty. So if he's no longer being humiliated, technically it's not insulting him. But if the person is embarrassed by the not-nice nickname, then the perpetrator's punishment is so much more severe. Comes another medrash. The medrash Tanchum in Parsha Vayigash records that Yehuda and the brothers were prepared to go to war with Yosef before Yosef revealed himself. They were going to fight him. They were going to take on all of Mitzrayim right then and there. And Yosef had not yet revealed his identity. They were about to come to blows, and Yosef was in severe danger. Because of all of those brothers ganged up on him, he was dead meat, in the literal sense. They were going to kill him. He didn't know what to do. But Yosef wanted to reveal himself. Now, there was going to be a small window where he was going to kick out the Mitzrim, the other Egyptians in the room, and he was going to be left alone with the brothers. In that window, before he revealed his identity, he put himself in grave danger. Because if the brothers saw that Yosef was alone, and he couldn't blurt out fast enough, "I'm your brother," the brothers were going to kill him. So says the Medrash, how could Yosef do that? Sakanas nefashos, they were prepared to kill him. And he's going to send his guards out of the room? So the Gemara says that Yosef said, "Mutov she'aharig, better I should be killed, v'lo avayish she'sachai b'fnei Mitzrim. Better I be killed to not embarrass my brothers in front of the Mitzrim and tell them that I'm your brother Yosef who you sold down to Mitzrayim." Is this a true halacha at the end of the day? Is this a din that if you have to embarrass somebody, it's better to give up your life than to embarrass such a person? So, on one hand, we have the Meiri. The Meiri in the Gemara in Brachos says that this Gemara is derech tzachos. It's speaking in hyperbole. It's exaggerating. It's trying to tell you the severity of embarrassing another person. But does it literally mean you have to give up your life? But it's important to note, the Meiri is in the far minority of the Rishonim and the Poskim that we will see. Tosis in Sota Daf Yud says, yes, you have to give up your life and not embarrass another person. And what about the idea there are only three cardinal sins of Avodah Zarah, Shfichas Dam, Gilui Arayos that a person has to give up their life for? So says Tosos, the Gemara is only listing those three things that are Mefurish B'Torah. When the Gemara says there are three cardinal sins, those are three cardinal sins that are openly discussed, obviously, in the Torah. The idea of not embarrassing somebody is not, as we saw before, openly expressed in the Torah. It's a drasha based on a pasuk, right? It's not clearly stated. The Torah doesn't say, "Vayidaber Hashem Hashem L'amor," don't embarrass somebody. We had to kind of come, you know, through the back door to try to figure out where this mitzvah came from. So says Tosos, those three cardinal sins are Yaharig Val Yavar. You have to give your life and not violate them. But there's a fourth one that's not listed in the Torah openly, and that is embarrassing another person in public. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in two places, in his Perush on Pirkei Avos, in the Shari Tshuva in Chela Gimel, in Shar Gimel, in Os Kuf Lamites, that embarrassing someone is a tolda, or an avizrayhu, of Shvichas Damim. What's avizrayhu? What's a tolda? Of the three cardinal sins, there are things that are similar to it, that are not exactly it, that are usher. So by Avodah Zarah, there's things that are avizrayu Avodah Zarah. It's not actually worshipping Avodah Zarah, but for example, getting benefit from Avodah Zarah. It's like Avodah Zarah. So what's an avizrayu? What's an extension? What's a tolda? What's like a mini version of murder, says Rabbeinu Yonah? Embarrassing somebody because the red and the face and the facial expression changes. And we see this from Tamar, who was willing to let herself die, as Rabbeinu Yonah cites, regarding Yehuda and their relationship. And then he says, why is being malvim nechaver barabim worse than murder? Because when you murder somebody, most people will know they did something wrong. They know they did something that was off. It wasn't the right thing to do. But when you embarrass somebody, are you always aware that you did the wrong thing? No, we rationalize. He deserved it. He had it coming. What a mechutzef. I did the right thing to him. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's worse to embarrass somebody because the person who does it doesn't realize they're doing anything wrong and they never do tshuva and they never feel bad about what they did. They go their whole life thinking, yeah, when I was 17, I told that person off and he got what was coming and I'm such a big tzaddik. And they're not going to realize when they go before the Kisei HaKavod that they had murdered somebody technically and they never did tshuva for it. The murderer hopefully will do tshuva at some point later on. But the person who embarrasses never reaches that stage. This is also the Shita, that it is worse halachically to embarrass somebody than to murder someone. You have to give up your life by the Rashbats in the Magen Avos and Pirkei Avos, the Pri Chadash in his commentary on the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei Torah Perek Hei, the Pri Megadim in his Tevas Goma, Rav Yaakov Edlinger one of the Rebbeim of Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch writes in his Tshuvos, this is a Tshuva Sefer, not a Musar Sefer, Binyan Sion, in Simon Kufayim, Beis Kufayim Gemel. Listen to what he writes. V'yedzei lanu, what comes out, halacha l'maisa, l'fi zeh, dim yachol lahatzil atzmo, mimisa, if you can save yourself through dying, ayidei shiyavayish gadol akatan, shemargish babusha, b'fnei shnei yisraelim, chayiv limsur atzmo, l'misa v'loy vayishu. If you have to give up your life in order to not embarrass another Jew in front of two people, chayev limsor nafsho. You are halachically responsible to give up your life. This is a psak from the Binyan Sion. It is hard to accept. We'll go to the other side in a second. I won't leave you hanging. I'll give you one story where this comes out in a practical way. There's a story told in the biography of the Maharal Diskin, the famed Rav of Brisk in Yerushalayim. His biography is called Amud Eish. This is on page Kuf Mem Tes, where the Maharal Diskin was sitting with his yeshiva students one day, and one of the Bachram went to make him a cup of tea, and instead of making the cup of tea with sugar, he poured salt. But not just a little bit of salt, a lot of salt. The Maharal Diskin had a medical condition where a lot of salt was very, very dangerous for him. It was very, very bad. And the young man brought him the tea. He tasted it. He realized what has happened. He didn't want to embarrass him, and he continued to drink the tea. The Maharal Diskin's wife walked in and saw the bowl of salt with next to the tea, realized what had happened, came into the room and said, "What are you doing? You're going to kill yourself. What are you doing?" So he said, but the Gemara says, better to jump into a fiery furnace than embarrass somebody. So certainly here as well, how could I embarrass this young man for making such a silly mistake, such a foolish thing? Better that I drink the tea. Again, I'm not saying that is halacha l'maisa. I'm just explaining, I'm showing the extent that this halacha, this concept, goes through in the eyes of Gedol Yisrael. Regarding the practicality at the end of the day, so contemporary poskim do not necessarily agree. Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher on Brachos, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Atshuva in the Minchas Shlomo is also leans towards the idea this is not practical. He's actually discussing, well, are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos in order to not embarrass somebody? If you have to give up your life, then certainly you should have to be Mechal Shabbos as well to not embarrass somebody. And he raises questions on this, but he comes out that it's not practical. Also, if you look in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch talk about not embarrassing somebody else, but they don't talk about giving up your life. So it seems that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch themselves cut it off at a certain point. It's very bad to embarrass somebody, but the Gemara is talking derech tzachus, as the Miri said. It's talking in a way of hyperbole to express to us how difficult these types of averus are. The Kloisenberg Rebbe in the Shuvas Divrei Yitziv notes that look at the careful lashon of the Gemara. It says, noach lo la'adam. It doesn't say chayev la'adam. Noach lo la'adam. It's more pleasant. The person should train himself to feel more comfortable with the idea of giving up his life than with the idea of embarrassing somebody in public. If you were to imagine in your mind what it is to give up your life and what dread that puts in your heart and your mind, that should not be as terrible as the dread you should feel as a human being to not embarrass another human being. That's what it means. Mentally, that's where we should be. It should be noach lo. It should be mentally on the same level. In addition, the Meshech Chachma in Parshas Vezos HaBrachos is talking about mitzvos that we learn out from before the giving of the Torah. So the Gemara learns this out from Tamar and Yehuda. Was that before the giving of the Torah or after the giving of the Torah? It was before. So says the Meshech Chachma, there's no proof from Tamar and Yehuda because we don't learn out halachos from things before the giving of the Torah. If Hashem wanted us to know that we should give up our life, He would have expressed it in Matan Torah, in Taryag Mitzos, and He didn't, and therefore there is no proof. Since the story is cited in the Torah, it's telling us about the feelings we should have, how bad it is to embarrass. Sefer Brachos teaches us Sefer HaYashar, the proper way to act in Midos, the proper way to conduct ourselves and how we act. But it doesn't mean literally that one would have to give their life like Tamar. Comes with Shlomo Kluger. In the Aleph Lecha Shlomo and Yerodeisim and Shim Chaf Aleph, he notes there seems to be a contradiction. He says, on one hand, if you embarrass somebody, then Ein lo chelek olam haba, you have no portion in the world to come. On the other hand, we know that if a person commits suicide under certain conditions, then ein lo chelek l'olam haba. So which is it? If I embarrass somebody, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. If a person commits suicide, ein lo chelek l'olam haba. So at the end of the day, if I'm stuck in a situation where I either have to give him my life or I have to embarrass the person, so then what did I accomplish? At the end of the day, it's a lose-lose situation. Ein lo chelek l'olam haba, no matter what my choice is. So he says, in the case of Tamar, non-embarrassing Yehuda, it wasn't an issue of two conflicting averos, with both carrying consequences of no olam haba. So he says, therefore, he says that it must be that if a person gives up their life in order to not embarrass somebody, it doesn't have a shame, a status of suicide. It's not considered killing oneself, because we see from Tamar that it's something else. And therefore, that's how he views this lahalacha as well. Now, comes Rav Hutner. Rav Hutner has a piece in the Pachad Yitzchak on Shavuos, where he discusses against the style of the Pachad Yitzchak, he discusses a halachic idea from a machshava context. And this is in Maimer Ches. And he notes that in life there are two types of pain. There is physical pain that comes through physical discomfort. And when it comes to physical pain, hopefully in most circumstances, the physical pain goes away. Right? If I were to ask you about the time where you stubbed your toe, or you hit your thumb with a hammer, or something happened like that, so you wouldn't immediately recall that moment and your thumb will start throbbing 5 years later. That's not how physical pain works. The physical pain eventually will pass in most cases. The other type of pain that we experience, says Rav Hutner, is an emotional pain that comes through embarrassment and busha. However, when it comes to emotional pain, and I think we can all relate, that when you were embarrassed 20 years ago and you think about that moment right now, it comes right back. That pain is still there. Emotional pain is worse than physical pain because it never really goes away in many circumstances. And that, says Rav Hutner, is why it is so severe. If I hurt the person physically, they can eventually get over it. But hurting a person emotionally through embarrassment stays with them forever and ever. And then Rav Hutner breaks down two types of embarrassment. So there's two types of pain, physical, emotional. Within the emotional pain of embarrassment, there are two types of things. One is a person who does something embarrassing and people see it, right? You go out to the store and you didn't realize in the back of your shirt there's a big stain. It's embarrassing, people see it. You're carrying the dishes, you trip, you fall, you act like a klutz in front of people. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassed that people saw you act in such a way. But then, on the flip side, there are people who embarrass other people. Now, what's the difference? If I am carrying something, and I trip and fall, and I say, I'm such a klutz, right? I'm such a klutz. I can't do anything right. Now, if I say that, I'm embarrassed in front of people, and I declare myself to be a klutz. But how come if I trip and fall, and my neighbor turns to me and says, you're such a klutz? That hurts worse than if I call myself a klutz. But didn't I just admit before that I'm a klutz? So what's the difference? So Rav Hutner says, when you say something self-denigrating about yourself, then it's okay with you. But if somebody else says you're a klutz, then it hurts much more. Doing something like this is an attack on the dignity of the person. When I declare about another person that they are A, B, and C, I am attacking their kavod, their dignity, their tzelem Elokim. And putting another person to shame can cause a hurt that's worse than physical pain. And this is the type of embarrassment that we compare to shfichas damim. When you are ruining the person's kavod, self-esteem, who they are, it stings deeply. And that sting lasts for years and years and years. What are some cases where we find the idea of not embarrassing somebody in public? So let's look at some halachic applications. Again, this is not the concept of kavod abrios, of not doing something or allowing something because the person's going to be ashamed. Yeah.
Is there a difference between embarrassing someone and criticizing them?
If you criticize somebody in a way that they will be embarrassed publicly, then that would be embarrassing somebody. There's a way to do it when the person is not around anymore. You know, somebody, your kids come home, your kids did something irresponsible, and they're with their friends. So you want to Give your child some mussar. They did the wrong thing. You want to tell them they did something that was irresponsible, not appropriate. Don't do it in front of their friends. Wait till the friends leave, and you'll do it afterwards. If they did something wrong, why do you have to drag them through the mud in front of their friends while they're there? That's going to be painful for them. You can get the same message across. You can criticize the person the same way and not do it in an embarrassing way. The two things don't have to be, can be mutually exclusive. A few examples. A Kohen who murders is not allowed to recite Birchas Kohanim. Can a Kohen who embarrasses somebody recite Birchas Kohanim for the Tzibor? Embarrassing somebody is like murdering them. So in the Sefer Daf Ladaf, on Bava Metzia, he cites a number of poskim who say that a Kohen may not duchen if he embarrasses somebody in public because it is like Ritzicha. The Prima Gadim writes in the Sefer Tevas Goma that the tfilos of a Malbim Nechaver Barabim are not accepted because he is like a murderer. Another case, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a well-known tshuva about can the younger sibling get married before the older sibling? Because we learn from Lavan, right, that the Tzira doesn't go before the Bechira, the older, younger one doesn't go before the older one. So Rav Moshe writes in Evan Ezra Chelik Beis, Simon Aleph, that a man may marry before his older brother found a wife. And he says the younger is commanded to marry just as well. And he should not neglect this mitzvah because his older brother didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet. And then Rav Moshe raises the following issue. Listen to this. I'll read to you from the tshuva. He says, "Umasha ratza kvot haraso lomar, that which you, the rabbi who wrote him, wanted to say, du liyai leish lahatzi'ir limanea mishum shu boshis avur hagadol, vukein halvanas panim shu isr chamor. Maybe if the younger one marries first or dates first, it will be embarrassing for the older one. It will be mal pechaver barami. It will be embarrassing your older sibling in public. Hine gam le'inyan haboshas hu rak sheba'atzmo mispayesh mizeh. He says, as a harbe yesh misachrin belisa bishvil harbe pa'amim, im bishvil sheyesh rotzim le'omed shechosh mishachrin nesun sheya rechay mitzavaro. He says, why should he be embarrassed? Many people don't get married right away. People go to work, they have to learn, whatever it is. Why should the older one be embarrassed? Lo yuchal ilmo kiditzu b'kedushin. The Maran Kedushin discusses this. People have issues of parnasa. People, they want to be mestader be'ezom onus. They want to learn a profession. They can't get married yet, whatever it may be. V'gam hi kishiyir talach usi darga be'etzes chazal b'yavamos eich shaykh she'akeva achiv b'tayna sheboshesu. How can I stop the other brother from dating because of the feeling of embarrassment? But Masha wrote to his gaos v'lechakos ad shizdaman lo isha chashuva shetir talo, because he wants to be a balgaiva, that the younger brother should wait, that he should have to wait to get married because I'm the older one, and therefore you have to put your life on hold because I can't get my life together, says Rav Moshe. V'gam establish lo shayach le'asur le'adam la'asos iskav v'chol tzorche gufok b'tayna she'echad yispayish adeza. You cannot tell a person that you cannot conduct yourself normally in life because I'm going to be embarrassed. Well, I didn't get into law school and you got into law school. Well, you can't go to law school because I'm going to be embarrassed because I didn't go to law school. What does that mean? I can't go get a job. I can't get married. I can't conduct myself in a normal way because you have low self-esteem and you're going to be embarrassed because I'm going to go about my life in a normal way, he says. He says, just because you weren't matzliach like me, we can't be sensitive to every single person who's a low yitzlach. Meaning some people can, some people can't. If some people can't, the whole world doesn't have to shut down because they can't. A person has to conduct himself in a normal way. L'chein eini roa shum iser. There's no iser. V'af lo shum davar shalu kahogan. There's nothing wrong b'zeh. Sheyisa hatzar tchila. The younger one should marry first. V'yada rabba zach of a mitzvah rabba. It's a big mitzvah of nesun puravu. And therefore he says, certainly there's no issue of embarrassing somebody in such a case. Another area in halacha is a Ramah. The Ramah writes in Rechaim Kuf Chav Ches that if the child of a Kohen goes off the derech, then there's no more mitzvah v'kidashto, and the Kohen is not given the aliyah of Kohen in shul. That's what the Ramah writes. If the child of a Kohen goes off the derech, then he's not given the Kohen aliyah in shul. Now the Mishnah Berurah says this is not the minhag nowadays, and that's why we don't find this anymore in shul. But it used to be such a minhag that if the child of the Kohen went off the derech and left Yiddishkeit, then he would not be given the Kohen aliyah. So the Shvus Yaakov of Yaakov Reischer, who is the Rav, one of the Rabbanim in Europe, he writes in Chelik Beis, he discusses the issue of a son of a Kohen who went off the derech, and the Tzibur didn't want to give the father the aliyah for Kohen. So he writes that first of all, the Ramah is a Rishus. This happened 100 years ago. He says, the Ramah is rishus. The Ramah says that Tzibor can choose not to give it to him. It doesn't mean that Tzibor has to not give him the Kohen Aliyah. So he says, don't be so frum. And he says, the second thing is that it's embarrassing to the Kohen. It's being malbim pei chaver barabim. If you don't give him the Aliyah, every single time there's a Kohen Aliyah in Shul, the whole Tzibor is going to look at him and know why this was the case. And therefore he says, because of being malbim pei chaver barabim, you cannot conduct yourself like this Ramah. Another example, yeah.
Just to backtrack, you only mentioned sons in the sibling debating.
Yeah, it would apply with daughters as well. It's equal between boys and girls.
Oh, just kidding.
Good. Okay. So, Rav Avi Yosef has a very strenuous objection to the minhag of Purim spiels in yeshiva and making a Purim Rav in yeshivas. And he says, the Gemara says that if you embarrass somebody, it is spilling blood. Tosafot says, as we saw before, you have to give up your life. And certainly to embarrass Talmid HaChachamim as well, the Rosh Yeshiva and the Rabbanim and the Yeshiva. And the Gemara in Shabbat says Yerushalayim was destroyed because they embarrassed Talmid HaChachamim. And he cites, it's Usser, that the Isser rests not only on the people who make the Purim Spiel, but also for the audience who attends the Purim Spiel, and they make fun of the Rabbanim and the Rosh Yeshiva. And he cites the Gemara in Bav Metzia, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was punished for failing to respond to the insult of a Talmid Chacham, and he cites the Tshuva of the Rivash, who says that a person should not denigrate his Rebbe, even if the Rebbe waived his rights and said, oh, you can embarrass me, I don't care. The Rebbe doesn't have the right to say, I'll be mochel on my kavo, you can do whatever you want. And he cites this lahalach in the Ramah, and then he quotes a story from Rav Shimon Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, who died from pain because of the insults he experienced during a Purim Spiel. The Chassam Sofer's son died because he was so broken over what happened to him, and he says we should object forcefully to the idea of a Purim Rav and a Purim Spiel where the person is embarrassed. And we may not have Purim spiels, perhaps in our own lives, but we sit around with friends and family, and there's a family joke, or you make an offhanded comment about a friend or someone in the family, and you think, oh, it's just family fun. Everybody knows about A, B, and C about this person. Everybody knows about, you know, this person made this mistake or fell in this issue in life. And we're just making a joke. It may be a joke to you. But who says it's a joke to that person? To be so sensitive to not make jokes about people, even if it's in good fun and you're just joking, there is no concept in Yiddishkeit in the Torah that is all just in good fun and jest.
Not in their presence, but in other words, if they're not there?
Then it's Lashon Hara. Okay, a different shear. So we have to be so sensitive in those areas. Okay, let's discuss a few more issues at the end. Maybe we'll tell a few stories about this as well. The last issue is, are you allowed to embarrass yourself in public? We are all created B'Tzelem Elokim. Are you allowed to be mevayish yourself, to go do embarrassing things, to silly things, to stand up and make a fool of yourself in public? And this touches on the above idea from Rav Huttner, right? Rav Huttner said, if it's you doing it versus other people. So the Meiri writes in Bava Kama, Im eino kapit al atzma umafchis mevayishis atzma rishai. The Meiri says, if you don't care about your own kavod, you can embarrass yourself. And the Chavos Yair in Simon Samach Beis discusses the case of Shimon, who complained to him that Reuven was going around Shimon a noef. What's a noef? An adulterer. Reuven was going around calling his friend Shimon the adulterer, the noef. Now, in the point of that discussion, Shimon admitted that when he was young, he acted inappropriately with young women, but they were single then, they weren't married, and it's much more worse to be called a noef, an adulterer, than just someone who's engages in znus, is just inappropriate. He says, I'll be known as the guy who acted inappropriately with women, but I don't want to be the adulterer, that's like a little bit too much. So part of the defense, he says, that part of the defense that Reuven says against Shimon is that, what is he talking about? Shimon would sit around at drinking parties and say, I did this in this way, and I acted this way inappropriately. He said these things about himself. So the Chavos Yair agrees with Shimon, and he says, for Shimon to say it about himself, that's fine. But just because Shimon goes around saying embarrassing things about himself doesn't mean that you have the right to say those things about Shimon. And therefore the Chavos Yair says that you have no permission in such a case as well. to embarrass other people, but you can say embarrassing things about yourself. The Chofetz Chaim writes the same thing. On the other hand, the Pesachei Choshen, Rav Yaakov Bloy, who was one of the great experts in Choshen Mishpat in Eretz Yisrael, writes in his Sefer in the Zikin Perek Beis that a person doesn't have rishus to embarrass himself. And he cites the count of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya. Asur lahakos es chavero, you're allowed asur to hurt your friend, afilu who knows him lo rishus, even if he gives you permission lahakoso. Ki ein l'adam rishus agufo. A person does not have control over his own body. It belongs to Hashem. Blakos v'levaisha, you cannot embarrass him. V'letzaru v'shimtzaru, you cannot give him pain emotionally, even if he gives you permission to do such a thing. Rav Moshe writes in Yerodein Chelek Alef Simen Reish Mem Tes that even those who say you can embarrass yourself agree that a boshes gadol, an exceedingly embarrassing thing, would not be allowed. So we have to be so careful about our own tzelumukim as well, and not to act in a way that embarrasses ourselves in a terrible way. Just in the remaining moments, let's just discuss a few interesting stories about Gedolei Yisrael, great, great Torah personalities, how careful they were in the sensitivity towards other people. They tell a story that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was once invited to be Mesader Kiddushin at a wedding, and when he arrived, he saw that there was a prominent Rav there who was supposed to be the aid Kiddushin, one of the witnesses underneath the chuppah. And Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that the views of this Rav about a certain aspect of Mesorah and Torah Shebaal Peh bordered on Kfira. It bordered on apikorsis, heretical ideas. And he was not comfortable with this rabbi being a witness at the wedding. So what did he do? He went over to this rabbi and said, you're the Rebbe of this young man. It would be much more proper for you to be the Mesader Kedushin and for me to be the aide instead. I'll be the witness. Anybody could be the Mesader Kedushin. That's no issue. You could have a monkey be Mesader Kedushin if you could get everything right. So he said, well, you should be Mesader Kedushin, I'll be the aide. And therefore, he avoided embarrassing him, and at the same time, upholding the proper halachos of the wedding. There's many stories about Rav Avadya Yosef, who was asked to be Mesader Kedushin at the wedding of prominent Israeli figures. And when he got there, they saw that they appointed their friends to be witnesses at the chuppah. So, for example, he was at a wedding where Shimon Peres was picked to be the aid kedushin. So what did Rav Avadya Yosef do? He told Shimon Peres that it's very special to be an aid kavod, the witness of honor. It's higher than a regular aid. So he made up a whole fake position for him to be an aid by the wedding that meant absolutely nothing. And he wrote on a big piece of paper, aid kavod, in very big letters, and he made him the aid kavod. Instead of just saying, you know, you're a Michal Shabbos, you can't be a witness by the wedding, he came up with a creative way to keep his integrity. At another wedding, at the wedding of Rav Yitzhak Peretz, Shimon Peres wanted a kavod as well, so they told Shimon Peres that it was a big kavod to put the glass on the floor for the chassan to step on, and therefore it saved his kavod as well. There is a story told by Rav Yitzhak Sternhal, who was a Talmud of the Munkach HaRav, who was a very prominent Rav in Baltimore after the war, that there was a feud between the rabbi of the town and the president of the shul. I hear such things happen. So the president was a learned fellow, and he told his wife that from now on, don't send your shilas to the Rav. I want you to send all shilas to me, rather than to the rabbi. So one Friday, the president's wife was preparing for Shabbos, and a question arose about the kashrus of a chicken. There was a broken leg, it looked bloodied. She wasn't sure if it was a trefa, if the chicken was kosher or not. So she had no choice. Her husband was at work, so she went to the Rav to ask him a shilas, and the Rav said the chicken was 100% fine, no questions asked. Go home, eat your food for Shabbos. So on the way back with her chicken from the rabbi, her husband was coming back from work. So the husband said, where were you? So he said, oh, I went to ask the rabbi a question about the chicken because you weren't home and, I really needed to make food for Shabbos. So the president of the community said, let me see that chicken. He looks at the chicken, holds it up, looks around, and says, ah, this chicken is treif. We can't eat the food for Shabbos. And take the chicken, put it on ice, save it for after Shabbos, because I want to use this chicken after Shabbos. Shabbos ends, Sunday morning, he takes the chicken, he knocks on the rabbi's house, and he says, come with me, I want to go see the Minchas Elazar, who lived in a few towns over, the Rav Munkach, and I want to discuss this chicken with you. So the rabbi didn't want to start a machloka, so he went with the president to the community of the Munkach or Rav, he went to Munkach. They travel on probably a very awkward carriage ride together to Munkach, and they get off the carriage, they walk into the house of the Minchas Elazar, and he says, I want to show you what an Am Haaretz, what a fool we have as the rabbi of our shul. And he says, look at this chicken. It's clearly treif. And our rabbi said it was kosher. So the Minchas Elazar looks at the chicken. And he's about to open his mouth to say something, and he tears off a piece of the chicken, and he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Niyad Bevaro. And he eats the chicken right there in front of them. So the president is severely embarrassed now because he realized that the Minchas Elazar is not going to side with him. He walks out in frustration and he has no place else to go. So, and the Rav is vindicated, the Rav of the community is saved. So Rav Yitzhak Sternhal, who was sitting there with the Minchas Elazar, turned to the Minchas Elazar and asked him, how did you eat from the chicken? You never eat from any chicken that there's even a shayla about the chicken. You have a chumrah, a chicken that was hora alav chacham, that you had to ask a shayla about, the Minchas Elazar wouldn't eat. So how could you eat from this chicken? So the Minchas Elazar pounds on the table so hard that the svarim jumped, and he said, for a piece of human flesh, we're not going to be careful. That's glatt kosher to eat. And for a piece of chicken flesh, it's not kosher to eat. How could I allow this president to consume the flesh, so to speak, to eat up this rabbi and embarrass him in public in front of the whole community and not eat from this chicken? Of course I'm going to eat from the chicken. To the extent that he was lenient on his chumras and his menhagim to make sure not to embarrass an Adam Chashem, an Adam Gadol, and another Jew. There are many, many more stories to tell. I'll just end with one last story, but we could stay here all day telling stories about people not embarrassing other people. The story is told that in Chachmei Lublin, Rav Meir Shapiro, the Rosh Yeshiva, was once sitting listening to a bachar give a drasha, and when he finished the drasha, one of the bacharim did that really annoying thing where he's kind of person says, oh, I heard that story already, or I already know that thing, right? So the bacharim got up and said, oh, that's not a chiddush, that's already written in the Malbim. So the Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin got up and says, I don't know if that's a malbim, but it's a malbim pnei chavera barabim. It's embarrassing somebody in public, and you shouldn't have said anything, and you did the wrong thing for acting in such a way. We have to be so sensitive. Obviously, it goes without saying not to actively go and hurt another person, to be sensitive to people, but to be extra sensitive, to be so careful how we respond to questions, how we relate to people, to think a few steps ahead about how our responses or actions will affect other people around us.